Amen. Thank you so much. What wonderful singing. And, you know, I try to spend very little time criticizing what other people do as far as churches and things, but I so much love to be encouraged through singing, and I love to sing songs that mean something, and I love to not feel carnal or fleshly while doing it. And I'm certainly thankful for Brother Dan and all of the time he puts into leading the singing, getting us to sing, and the way he does it. Praise the Lord for him, and thank God for how good he is. I need thee every hour. And if only we would remind ourselves of how needy we are, yes, but then how able he is. Praise the Lord. Well, I want to go through several verses this evening, and then we'll get into the message, the Bible study, possibly just a devotional thought. And I usually have a little bit more of a Bible study, but I want to look at several different places. You can look in Matthew chapter 27. We'll begin there while you're finding your place in Matthew 27. I did hear this story. I usually don't tell you a joke on Wednesdays, but you know, I didn't get anything out on Sundays, and I heard that Daniel Wakefield desperately let us down. So heard about this old couple. They came into McDonald's, and so they were getting their food, French fries, a drink, and a sandwich. And so the old guy, he unwrapped the sandwich there, and he got a plastic knife when he was at the counter and cut it in half. And he put that on the paper and put a napkin and put half the sandwich over there, half the sandwich on his, and then counted out the fries, gave her half, gave himself half, put the drink in the middle. And so they would both take a sip of the drink, and then they got started. And so he started eating, but she just sat there. And some family over there said, "Oh my goodness, it's horrible. Senior elderly couple doesn't have money to buy any more food. They're going to have to split this." And he said, "I'm going to go over and help them. I'm going to go over and offer to buy them." And the wife said, yeah, go. And so he went over and said, "Folks, I don't know you, of course, but just my heart goes out to you. Would you let me buy another hamburger, another cheeseburger, whatever you want?" He said, "Oh, no, we just share everything. It's just the way we do." He said, "Are you sure?" "Oh, yeah, I'm sure." So he went back. Well, the old man, he just slowly ate, and he ate, and he ate, and ate his fries, take a sip of the drink. The wife would take a sip of the drink. Well, that guy finally couldn't stand anymore. He came back over. He said, "Please," he said, "just, I don't mind." He said, "God's blessed." He said, "I've got the money. Let me buy you something." He said, no, we just share everything. It's just the way we are. That's just fine. We're good." And so he went back, and he thought, "I'm just going to put it out of my mind," but he couldn't. He looked back over there. He goes, "I'm going to have to try one more time." He said, "Sir, are you sure you wouldn't let me?" No, I'm done. He was about done with his half the hamburger, and he said, "Are you sure?" "Oh, I'm sure, sure. He said, "We just share everything." He said, "That's just no problem." Then he looked at the lady. He said, "Ma'am," he said, "I'm just so bothered." He said, "You haven't had any of your hamburger, any of your fries. You've got a little bit of that." He said, "I know you share everything," but he said, "What are you waiting on?" She said, "I'm waiting on the teeth." When he says we share everything, we share everything. So now, if you weren't kind of grossed out before you came to church, now you are. You're welcome. I'm glad you came. I'm glad you got that. I hope it takes you a long time to get that image out of your mind, okay? So I didn't know if that was Sunday morning material or not, so that's why I just tried it out on a. If I feel like later it was, I'll put it back in rotation in 2 years, and I'll put it back out to you. So, all right, Matthew chapter 27, verse number 12. The Bible says this: "And when he was accused of the chief priests and elders, he answered nothing. Then said Pilate unto him, Hearest thou not how many things that they witness against thee? And he answered him to never a word, insomuch that the governor marveled greatly." I want you to look at 1 Peter chapter 2, if you would. You're in Matthew. Keep on going in the New Testament. Go to Revelation. You've gone too far. Go back a few. Hebrews, James, 1 Peter, 2 Peter. So 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2, I just really want to drive home a thought tonight and trust that it will be a blessing to you, because we're going to look at this passage and we'll go one more in Proverbs, which is probably on the top of your handout. First Peter chapter 2, verse 22. Who did no sin, neither was guile, that's deception or deceit, found in his mouth. That's Jesus. Now, this is not the message, but you know, a lot of us are saying, oh, I didn't say, I told the truth. We said it with our mouth, the truth, but what we inferred was not the truth. That's guile, that's deceit. You know, somebody says, did you do that? And say, well, I didn't do it, so I can say no, but I know who did. We deceive people. Jesus, the Bible says about him, there is neither guile found in his mouth. But verse number 23 is where I want you to look at. Who, when he was reviled, threatened, put out unkind things and said about whatnot. When he was reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judgeth righteously. So I'm going to go through a little bit of fighters and talebearers. Hopefully you got that handout. I want you to look at our final place, and that's Proverbs chapter 26. In the Old Testament, easy to find, right after Psalms, the largest book back there. Psalms, almost always can find it. Proverbs chapter 26. Verse number 20 of Proverbs 26. Where no wood is, there the fire goeth out. So where there is no talebearer, the strife ceaseth. The Bible says in chapter 16, verse 28, a froward man soweth strife, and a whisperer separateth chief friends. You think about teenage girls that they always have something to say when the certain part of the crowd is not there. My aunts, who I loved, each one of them, they're all now gone to glory. But my mom's side of the family, there was seven girls, counting mom and two boys, that survived. And my aunts would always talk about whichever aunt wasn't there. They loved each other as long as they were in the same room. But whoever wasn't there, if that was Wilmer, Aunt Boots, or Pat, or Toots, or whoever it was, my mom's sisters, whichever one wasn't there, that's the one that had fodder, that they had fodder for the argument. And so that's what I think about this, when a whisperer separateth friends, the Bible says. So the Bible goes on to say in verse number 21, back in our text of Proverbs 26, as coals are to burning coals and wood to fire, so is a contentious man to kindle strife. Last verse, number 22. The words of a talebearer are as wounds, and they go down into the innermost parts of the belly. Lord, bless us tonight. Help us, I pray, and may we see you do great things tonight right here in our midst. In Jesus' name, amen. Would you give me these next few moments? I want you to think about this. If you're married, this is good. This is perfect for you. If you have children, this is perfect. If you aren't either one of those, you don't have your children at home, you're married, but in friendships and relationships, this is so necessary. And I want to be as practical as I can be tonight, and it won't be much of a Bible study. Again, maybe more of a devotional thought. But I believe everybody needs to get this down. I took you to the place where Jesus didn't answer back when all those people were lobbing stuff at him. It'd be a wonderful thing if we would learn that just because somebody says something to us, we do not have to respond. Do you understand how much power there is in silence? I'm not talking about getting the silent treatment at home. There's a good bit of power in that too. But I'm talking about when somebody says something unkind to you, the hardest thing to do, but the most powerful thing to do, is not answer back. And what it's talking about here is this. I'll give it to you in point number one, and that is, it's hard to fight with no fodder. Now, we know what fodder is, right? That's just fodder shocks, fodder, the material. It's hard to fight without any of that raw material. If you're going camping and it's a place where there's some pine trees, you got those old dried up pine needles, and you get that fire started. If you're a Boy Scout and you bring your flint rock and all that, you're like the rest of us, you bring a Bic lighter and you light some newspaper, and then you put some of those pine needles on there, and they crackle and pop, and they get that started. Then you get some real thin stuff, put the kindling on there, and then eventually you're going to get it to a place where you can burn some real good stuff. Well, you need fodder. Meaning you need something to burn or else you have no fire. And so what I'm speaking about tonight is this. It's hard to fight without fodder. What I tell my kids, or have told them for years, and that is this: if you can be the first one to admit something that you did wrong, or you did silly, or whatever, you know, it was dumb, you look foolish. If you can be the first one to say, you know, that was foolish, and you laugh at yourself, then that takes all of the fight that all of their friends have about them away. If you act all upset that some people's laughing at you, or they're making fun, or they saw you trip in the hallway, and then you act all bothered about it, then you know, and I know, there's a lot of people who that makes them that much more intent on riding you hard about it. But if you get in there with them and you laugh and you say, I know, I ought to be on Funniest Home Videos. I believe I'd win some money, and I can't believe I did that, and I can't believe I did that. Then it takes all the fodder out of that funny making that they were going to have to you. I'm thinking about this, your spouse, and I know some of us in here, your prize fighters. You know, when you're a boxer or you're a fighter, you want to be a prize fighter because you want to win the prize at the end. Well, I'm convinced, I've watched marriages enough, that spouses must want to be prize fighters as well, because they take great pride in being the winner. I believe some of these marriages, one of the spouses ought to come out with that belt that they win in those boxing matches, say, I won, and sling it over their shoulder and say, reigning champion. But you understand, it's hard to fight when you don't give them anything to fight with. Probably one of the greatest people I know is in the room tonight about doing that, who doesn't seem the need to respond back in kind. Brother Dan is a classic example, or a wonderful example, I should say, of not feeling the need to throw back when people throw at him. Now, some of the rest of you, you're a poster child for the other side. I'm just joking. But you understand that your spouse might be that prize fighter, but it's hard for them to fight when you don't fight back. That's what the scriptures is literally and practically speaking about. As it says in verse number 20, where no wood is, the fire goeth out. If you don't give them any ammunition, it's hard to shoot the gun. You don't give them any kindling, it's hard to start the fire. And so we see that it's hard to fight without a fire. Look, number two, the contentious people. Here's what they do. You find in verse number 21, they kindle that fire. Do you ever notice that some people like to get it riled up? Now, you may be married to that somebody, so if that's you, you'd be real quiet on this point, okay? I don't want you to give your position away. You may be married, or you may be that person who likes to really get it riled up. I was talking to a youth pastor friend of mine one time, and he was speaking about this youth boy in his youth group. He said he is very calculated, this boy, and he named his name. He said what he does is he leans up into the argument, he gets everybody riled up, and then he slips back into the crowd. And then those ones that he got mad or got upset each other, they get in trouble. But he said, this boy, he's smart enough to know that if he can get back out of the way before all of the youth pastor and the workers and all that come, and he wasn't specifically talking about fist fighting, they were just talking about getting people at each other's goats, you know. But he said, he slips back, and then he doesn't get in trouble. He says, but I watch him from afar. And so some people, contentious people, verse number 21, as the burning coals and wood to fire, so a contentious man to kindle strife. Now listen, folks, there are some people who are just good at stirring it up. And you are playing right in their hand when you let them get you upset. Yeah, but you won't believe what they said. I've come to realize, more so than I've known it for years, but more so than ever before, people are going to say whatever they want to say. And now, in the day's platforms that we currently have through social media and all of the rest that we have at our fingertips, that people make themselves sound like professionals because they made this video that was almost professionally edited, or at least edited in a quality way, and they put out this video, and they say some things that make them sound like an expert. Well, listen, folks, everybody on YouTube ain't no expert. It's just Bubba out behind the woodshed. Somebody in his family just got good with a video camera. And these phones nowadays are so quality that their video camera is their iPhone 12, and they've got it on this tripod, and they make this video, and they sound like they know what they're talking about. And so in that same fashion that some people are good at putting out misinformation that we ought not to believe, so are some people just good at kindling strife. And so you ought not to believe all that misinformation that somebody puts it out there. And I do hate to break the news to you, but if some it's just because something's on the internet doesn't make it true. Well, just like that, just because somebody says it in a wannabe argument or a would-be argument doesn't mean you or I have to respond. Folks, let's get it down that just like somebody's going to spin their story, somebody's also going to try to get your goat, going to try to get you riled up, get you hot and bothered, whatever your phraseology that you use, they're going to try to get at you. And if you let them, then woe is you. So some people, contentious people, all they do is just kindle the fire. Can I give you these next couple of points? And they're more philosophy than they are Bible. Take your problems or talk to your problems out to the right people only. You know, it's amazing how many, I was joking with a buddy of mine, a pastor or evangelist friend of mine, he called and he said something was going on in his family. He was joking about his daughter who was in the car or having a joking time with her. I said, okay, well, I'll tell our church. I said, only as a prayer request, I'll tell them that she's going through this great trial, and the trial was getting her driver's license. But it's amazing how many times we put off gossip and we say, oh, I only tell you this to pray. Can I tell you this, that you're never wrong in talking to the Lord about a problem, and we're never wrong in talking to the person that can do something about the problem, talking to them about it. But let's be very, very careful that we don't give information to people just because we like to give information. That's what I mean by taking or talking your problems out only to the people that can really pertains to the only the right people only. Because number four, I think you have the same points I do. Talebearers hurt the cause of Christ. Now listen, please don't misunderstand. Time out right here. I'm not saying that there are times when everything should be told. I'm never for covering wrong, never for covering illegalities, unethical stuff, immoral stuff, ungodly stuff. Never do you do that. But the situations I'm specifically talking about, nothing's illegal, nothing's wrong, nothing's immoral, nothing's that. I'm just talking about people who love to get you all riled up. If you have a brother or if you have several siblings, and undoubtedly one of them was good at what I'm talking about. Not the ignoring, but the one that getting you mad. Family, siblings rather, have an excellent way of knowing what gets to you. They can push your buttons. And if you're immature, I'm immature, then I let them push my buttons, and the desired results happens every time. They push the buttons, and I explode. It's a wise day, or smart, a wise person in a great day, when we figure out that what they are doing is pushing my buttons. And you realize that when it gets to a serious spot, not just one sibling making the other mad and getting his goat and making all things funny like that, but you realize when it gets to serious matters that talebearers hurt the cause of Christ. So I give you this last one. Our goal should be no fires of this type. This is where we're really supposed to be. We ought to be no drama. We ought to, if you want to start a fire in your marriage. Not that kind, not the other kind of fire. Start a romantic fire. You want to start start fires in other areas of your life, in adventure. Go do something fun. Have some variety to your life and go do something that you enjoy and encourage somebody. You ought to use your words to mean something kind to people and gracious to people and uplifting to people. Instead of that, always giving back, as the Bible says in verse number 21, so as a contentious man to kindle strife. I don't want to be known as that guy who always stir stuff up. If you're talking about stirring up for the Lord, great. If you're talking about stirring up romance in somebody's marriage in our couples retreat, great. But if you're talking about stirring up a squabble or a quarrel between friends, count me out. Listen, folks, we ought to remember that our words have power and we ought to use them for the glory of God. We ought to use them to bring people together instead of using them to just sit back and watch people squabble, fuss, and fight and quarrel about each other. We ought to not be drama and complaining and bickering and fighting. Instead, we ought to set the fires of friendship in our lives. One of the things, as I already mentioned in this very service, that I've been convicted of and convinced of through this first part of the year with our theme or our emphasis being continuing, they continued steadfast in the apostles' doctrine, and one of the things they continued in was fellowship. And I want to see the folks of our church and people that come in new this year as the Lord brings people in, I want to see them get stronger together, not be fighting and setting fires one against another and fighting and fussing. Instead, I want to see friendships and fellowship going forward. But the type of activity, and I almost said the type of person, listen, folks, there's no sense in acting high and mighty. It's all of us. We've all got it in us. Oh, not me, Brother Herdman. Oh, yeah. Only on the days that end in Y do you have it in you. So we understand that it brings pleasure to our flesh when we take a tail and we spread it around to other people. You watch this, okay? You watch somebody who has some information that they think nobody else has. They're like a kid in a proverbial candy store. They cannot wait to get to a place where they can tell another group of people. And if that's somebody's having a birthday or somebody's having a baby or somebody's doing something exciting, then great, let them go. But if that's telling about something that they're having some unfortunate event in life or they fell into this sin or they did that, shame on us. We love to spread it around so. And oftentimes we can do little or nothing to help. You've all played that game, I'm sure, where you start at one side of the room and maybe you have a circle or zigzags or whatever, and you whisper, the one person whispers something to the second person to the third to the fourth, and the 15th to the 16th, and the 20th to the 21st, and you work it all the way around, telephone or some game title like that, and then the last person rehearses what they heard the second to last person said, and then they compare that to what the first person had written down that they actually said. Now, I know it's a funny game that we like to play and it's kind of whimsical, but there's a lot of truth in that game. There's not a lot of truth in that game that illustrates a lot of truth. There's not a lot of truth by the time it gets to the last person. And my friend, we are horrible, or good, whichever way you look at it, at spreading misinformation. You know, we had a president who went to great lengths to talk about fake news. There's a lot of fake news. There's a lot of, sometimes the news isn't so fake, but it's certainly unnecessary. And we ought to be terrible at kindling strife. We ought to be horrible at stirring wrong fires up. We ought to be completely avoiding that tail bearing. I'm going to take us back to Proverbs chapter 26 and just finalize and quit with where we started in this particular passage and read these again. And I want you to ask God to help us be the kind of people who aren't described in verses number 20, 21, and 2. You ready? Where no wood is, there the fire goeth out. Speaking, I believe, of where somebody's bickering and fighting, and you just, as Jesus said, you answered not a word. The fire goeth out. So where there is no talebearer, the strife ceaseth. As coals are to burning coals and wood to fire, meaning coals keeps on burning the new coal that you put on there. The wood, if it's already burning, the wood just keeps on burning itself up. You keep adding, it keeps burning, it keeps adding, it keeps burning. So just like that, so is a contentious man to kindle strife. They keep on feeding the fire. The words of a talebearer are as wounds. You know that old saying, the sticks and stones may hurt my break my bones, but words will never hurt me. You know that's a lie. All of us have been hurt by words. Oh, you won't bother me. Oh, you sure will. The words of a talebearer are as wounds. And they go down into the reason their wounds is they go down into the innermost parts of the belly. You can't unhear it. How many of you have ever been criticized for something you didn't do? How many of you told somebody, oh, don't bother me? You know what you were doing when you told that person, oh, don't bother me? You were lying. Because it does. Hurts my feelings every time somebody says something ill about our church. Thankfully, it doesn't happen much, but I don't hear it a lot. But when somebody says, well, I think we really missed the boat on that, and I think this, and if they're right, it hurts my feelings. If they're wrong, it hurts my feelings. If I know completely 100% that what they're saying is untrue, it still hurts me. Why? Because that goes down the innermost parts of my belly. Those words, those things of strife, those words of a talebearer, they're like wounds. Ooh, ooh, it gets me. So tonight, I want you to be challenged by this. Let's let our words not be used as fodder for the wrong fire. If you're going to use your words for a fire, use a fire to ignite somebody. Use a fire to encourage somebody, to spur them on, to help them, encourage them. The Bible tells us to encourage one another, bear one another's burdens. How do you do that? You do it through your words and other ways, but specifically through your words, one way. And so you can either use your words to build a fire of encouragement, or you can use your words to kindle strife, and you can use your words to be a talebearer. I'm challenging each of us. This tongue, the Bible says, it's a powerful tool. I'm challenging us to use it for right, not fighting, not talebearing. But instead, don't follow our flesh. Instead, remember that we ought to use it for right. Father, bless us now is our prayer. Lord, I pray that you bless each one of my friends and that are here tonight. Many are watching online. A few may go back later and watch, dear Lord. But regardless of how, I pray that you would bless everybody who's listened to enough of this message, devotion, whatever it is. Listen to enough of it to get the point from the Word of God, that they would make a holy vow to you. And folks, I'm challenging you in this room to do the same. We make a holy vow to God that we wouldn't be that talebearer. Now, again, let me give another disclaimer. Some things need to be told. I'm not saying that you know something's wrong going on, that you're not supposed to go. If it's wrong, if it's hurting somebody, you make a beeline to the people that can get it fixed. Please don't misunderstand. But if we're just bickering to bicker and we're just telling tales to be putting somebody in a negative light for no positive purpose, we ought to rethink our actions. Father, bless us now is our prayer. I pray, dear Lord, that we could cease being the talebearers and the fighters and the infighters. And Lord, those that kindle up strife, I pray, dear Lord, that you would use us to light the fires of encouragement, light the fires of romance in our marriage, light the fires of love in our families, light the fires of burden bearing in our church, and let our words be those things that are used for good in Jesus' name. Would you stand together as they play something through? If you're able, stand with us. And if the Lord has spoken to your heart, I challenge everybody to make a vow to the Lord. You can come down the altar. You're always welcome. Perhaps you're here tonight and you need some time to pray. This altar is open for you. Come and pray. But I'm challenging everybody to make a vow tonight to the Lord. Lord, my words aren't unimportant. Lord, my words can be used for something good or something evil. I can be a talebearer. I can kindle strife. Or I can choose to use it for uplifting people and encouraging. Why does everybody make a vow tonight? Dear Lord, help me guard my tongue. Lord, guard my tongue, dear Lord. Help me use it for right, I pray. I trust that everybody has spoken to the Lord about that in this very hour. Some of our marriages are poor excuses for a marriage. We seem to always be fighting and bickering. Where no wood is, the fire goeth out. one person in the marriage can do go a great way to bring that fighting down. Hard to fight when the person won't get their gloves up. If you're here tonight, you're not sure that you're on your way to heaven. I know everybody in the room, but I may not know your spiritual condition. If you're here tonight and you're not sure you're saved, I'll be around for a long time. Brother Dan will as well afterwards. Would you slip over to one of us and just say, could I talk to you for a moment? And we'd just take the Bible and show you how to be sure you're saved. Lord, thank you for this night. Thank you for bringing us into this Bible study devotion tonight. Thank you, Lord, for the time of prayer. Thank you for bringing Amy and Allie and I back to church tonight, dear Lord. You're so gracious and good to us. I pray for our friends that can't be here tonight because maybe they're sick or somebody in their family's sick or they've been around somebody. Lord, bless them. Heal them up quickly, I pray. Lord, I pray for my special friends that tonight, dear Lord, inform me of some heavy news. Lord, we're asking you to do a great work right in their midst, I pray. Lord, we'll thank you for all that you do. Give us your good hand of blessing to go on. Lord, may we use our words for what they're supposed to be for tonight and tomorrow and the next. Bless us Sunday when we come to meet on the Lord's Day. Lord, I pray that somebody be saved on this property. Lord, please, I pray, you'd work in a special way, and we'll thank you for all that you do. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, thank you for being in church tonight. It's a wonderful joy to see each of you. God bless you. You're dismissed.